So we've spent the last 5 weeks looking at, as I said, where the Bible asks us to do things for one another in the Christian community. And each week we've had a Lent challenge. I don't know if any of you have taken us up on any of these Lent challenges, which were linked to the theme each week. So we've had encourage one another, we've had offer hospitality to one another, pray for each other, and serve one another. And so this week we come to a subject which isn't so much about an action we're asked to do for one another, but more an attitude we're instructed to cultivate and manifest with each other. So we're told to bear with each other. Bear with each other. So the early church was nothing if not real about the reality of the state of Christian community. And Paul, who was the author to the letter of the Colossians that our first reading came from, the Colossian church, he was trying to help kind of fledgling churches to grapple with the challenges which they faced as they came together. And while some of those challenges were kind of oppression from the outside of the church, there were plenty of challenges which came from within the church, within the Christian community itself. And the state of our community matters. The way that we relate with one another matters. And not just because kind of it's nice to have good relationships with each other, you know, it makes us feel good. But actually, when we relate well, we witness to God's love. When within the church we relate well, we witness to God's love. So Jesus said in that prayer for all believers, he said, "I have given them my glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you love me." So when there is unity in the church, then it testifies to the world of the goodness and the love of God. But that unity that we're called to is not uniformity, and not everyone in the church is the same. So just before our reading that we had in Colossians, there's this wonderful verse about there being no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So it's one of those statements emphasizing that the boundaries between people have been torn down, that these people who were divided are now united in Jesus, and that they are members of one family. And I remember preaching about this a little bit kind of around this time last year when we were looking at our vision statement and all those for all statements, if you remember. So we had all are welcome, all have space to grow in faith, all are called to serve, all find a place to belong, all reach out, all. Everyone is invited to come and be part of the family. Therefore, we are called to clothe ourselves in the virtues of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bear with each other. So Christian community is about disparate people from every age and stage of life, every socioeconomic background, those who are formally educated to the eyeballs and those who are educated in the school of life, those who are far away, those who've lived round the corner all of their lives, those who've had the privilege of a good childhood with positive memories, and those who actually spend most of their lives trying to forget, different people with different life experiences, all coming together as one family in Christ. And to me, this is just such a beautiful picture of what life with God is supposed to be. But it's also something which is difficult. Difference is wonderful, but it isn't always easy. Bear with each other. So what does it look like? What does it look like to bear with each other? And I want to explore this concept by looking at two aspects and two ways we can bear with each other. One is that we can bear with each other's faults, and secondly, that we can bear with each other's foibles. We can bear with each other's faults, and we can bear with each other's foibles. So in verse 13, Paul says to the Colossian church, and in turn he's speaking to us. These were written to those communities, but they were also handed down to be written to us. He says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." So as Christians, we live as a forgiven people. not a perfect people, but a forgiven people. And living as a forgiven people means that we have recognized that we are imperfect, that there are things that we need forgiveness for. And if we think about our kind of baptism and confirmation services, there's this emphasis on repentance and turning away from sin. And of course, each week as we share communion, we say the confession together and we have the absolution, we have the saying sorry, and then that declaration of God's forgiveness. So together we recognize that we are not perfect, but we are forgiven. And as people who've received grace and forgiveness from God, we're then asked to cultivate that attitude towards others. Bear with one another and forgive each other. That's what Paul asks. And Jesus says something very similar as he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. He says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." It's a core attitude we're asked to cultivate. We're all imperfect. We all make mistakes. And we're asked to cut each other some slack and choose to forgive rather than hold a grudge. Now, I want to be really clear here about what I am saying and what I am not saying. I am not here talking about situations of abuse or serious neglect and injustice. Too often the church has used this type of teaching as a tool to oppress people, to cover up scandal, and that's not what this is about. This is about our general outlook, our way of being with people, which chooses to be patient and kind, compassionate and gentle, and which lets the little stuff go. An attitude which says, "I found that irritating," or "I was a bit hurt by that comment," or "that wasn't very tactful," but which chooses to take a deep breath and not make a big deal out of it. Who says internally, "I'm going to let it go. I'm not going to hold on to it. We're all imperfect." Now, I think the opposite of what I'm talking about I experienced earlier this week when I saw a couple of drivers at the end of Handon Road in the junction with Manor Lane. And the one in front, to be fair, was driving incredibly slowly and wasn't a learner. And the one behind just got so angry and irritated. They had the windows wound down. They were effing and blinding and shouting and screaming. And just as she turned, he kind of zoomed past at like an almighty unsafe speed. That was the opposite of bearing with one another. That's not what it looks like to bear with one another. But it's these sort of things that I'm talking about. This isn't about putting up with things that actually we really do need to face up to and to say, no, that's not acceptable. This is about the attitude that we have in general with the little things, the things that we could build up into a big thing, or we could just say, do you know what? Maybe they were just having a bad day. My daughter was with me when we saw these drivers, and she said, "Why did he do that?" I just said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe he was in a big rush to go to some kind of emergency, or maybe he was just being impatient." It was definitely the opposite of bearing with one another. So that's the first kind of idea of bearing with one another when we make mistakes, when we've got out of the wrong side of bed in the morning and we're more snappy than usual, or we've had a lot on our mind and forgotten something that we should have really remembered. Or we've gone and said something or done something and we've put our foot in it. You know, our community is full of imperfect people and we've got so much going on in our lives that might not be obvious to the other person. So we need to cut each other a bit of slack and bear with each other's mistakes. And the second way of bearing with each other is bearing with each other's foibles. Now, this is a slightly different thing because it's about recognizing that sometimes we just get irritated or offended by each other because we're different rather than anybody's at fault in any particular way. So I mentioned that, you know, the Paul's list, very different groups of people coming together in a completely new way, different groups with different habits, different practices, which would have felt perhaps quite alien to someone and made somebody a bit uncomfortable with its strangeness. So I was thinking of an example of this. I remember I went to boarding school. I went to an all-girls boarding school. And there was a handful of girls in the school who came from the Chinese community. And they used to bring to school with them rice cookers. And on a Saturday afternoon, they would cook rice and fish in their dorm. And I don't like fish. And I really don't like the strong smell of fish. And it would make the dorm and the hallway smell of fish. And so I had this battle within me as to how to deal with and how to react to this situation. Because part of me was really irritated because they made everything smell of fish and I didn't like that. So I could have been really resentful and make kind of barbed comments towards them. Or I could choose to recognize that these girls were so far away from their homes, they were so far away from their families, from their country, and from their culture, that this was their way of bringing a little bit of home to school. We were all in the same boat. We all missed our homes. And this was just their way of bringing it with them. So I have to admit, some weekends I was better at the bearing with the foible than other weekends when I was a bit less patient. But it's about recognizing that we are different. And there's nothing necessarily that we're doing wrong. Nobody can be in the wrong, but it can still be a source of frustration, that difference. I unwittingly actually caused this to my poor family, this almost exact same situation, because I made peanut butter cookies the other day. Now, I love peanut butter. But it turns out that three-fifths of my family really don't like peanut butter or the smell of peanut butter. So me filling the house with this beautiful smell of freshly baked peanut butter cookies was not taken entirely gratefully by a number of my family. So our differences are wonderful, but they can be sources of irritation and frustration. The way I think is different from the way you think. Or the way you think. The way I do things is different from the way you do things or you do things. The way I see things is different. We all look at things in different ways. And all of these things can become tension and argument. But the Christian community draws together people with many differences to stand together as one family. And we are invited to bear with each other and give each other space to be who we each are as individuals. It's easy to wish that people were more like ourselves. Oh, it'd be fine if they thought like I did, or they did things the way I would do them. It's easy to want people to be more like us. But our invitation as members of the Christian community is not to change people. We're not here to create people in our image. We're not here to make people be more like us. Our invitation is to love people and leave the rest up to God. Our invitation is to help people have space to become the people who they are created to be in Christ, not the people that we think they should be. Bear with each other. Our community is not perfect because it is full of imperfect people. And it is full of people who are different. We all have our own foibles, our strange little ways that are so normal to us, but can cause great frustration to others. But as we look upon one another, we are asked to let the little things go, to bear with each other, and instead clothe ourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and to above all, put on love. As with all the other weeks, there's a challenge at the end of this. Our Lent challenge to bear with one another. And our challenge this week is to think of someone at church that you find difficult for whatever reason. Take a deep breath, and not necessarily today because that might give the game away, but at some point over the next few weeks, have a conversation with them. Take the opportunity to talk to them and then reflect, what am I thankful for about this person? And pray and give thanks for them. If you're wanting to do something today, actually, we could just spend a few moments now just bringing to mind somebody that we do find difficult and asking God to help us see them in a new way, to find something about them that we can be thankful for, and to pray for them.